All of us at Podcast One want to say thank you for listening to this show. We would also like to ask a small favor of you. It'll take less than 10 minutes, and if you're one of the first few people to fill out the survey, we'll give you something for your time. We would like you to complete a short survey for us to help make things better around here. Just go to listeningsurvey.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's listeningsurvey.com. The first 125 people to go and complete this survey will get a $10 gift certificate to restaurant.com, and there is a chance to win an additional $100 Amazon gift card. Filling out the survey will really help us out. Go to listeningsurvey.com, and thanks for listening.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it's Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft podcast. Two games in the books, and now we are looking ahead to week three, and there are some talented matchups to take a look at. Speaking of taking a look at it, if you haven't taken a look at betonline.ag, you need to do so. Use the code podcast1, the number one, to get a 50% sign-up bonus today. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. As always, every week, we will talk about the big news from the weekend that was, big performances, injuries, unfortunately, things like that. And then we'll also get you ready with some head-to-head big-time matchups and other matchups you should be keeping your eye on here in week three of the college football season. He's Fran Duffy, the superstar from the Philadelphia Eagles video and scouting department. You can and should follow him on Twitter at FDuffy3. He's got the sickness. He's got the disease. He loves this stuff. And he's all over it. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, love college football, and love knowing that when I get a chance to watch the games, I know which players to watch. I know which numbers to be looking at because Fran and I go over the biggest players and the biggest matchups. And Fran, let's start with some news. And I think the second consecutive week, the news sadly starts with a major injury, this time Oklahoma running back Rodney Anderson.
Yeah, the team announced on Sunday that he was going to miss the rest of the year after a knee injury sustained Saturday. And unfortunately, it's kind of similar to what we talked about with Trey Adams, the left tackle from Washington last week, where this is just adding on to a long list of medical issues for Rodney Anderson. I mean, his first collegiate carry in 2015, he suffered an injury. It was a season ender, broken fibula, tore a ligament in his ankle in his left leg. So that was a very serious leg injury on his first college carry, out for the season. He comes back for 2016 and he gets a season ending neck injury in August, and he's in a neck brace for 3 months. He missed all of that season. So he missed the first 2 years of his career, comes back. He started half the games for the Sooners last year. Obviously, they went on that great run. You had Baker Mayfield and everybody there. He started 7 out of 14 games, was very productive. Coming into this year, he was a lot of people's favorite running back. He was right there for me with Damian Harris. I think he's probably just a step below Harris for me. But Rodney Anderson's an outstanding football player. There's not a lot of holes in his game, but the medical just keeps popping up, and it's a really sad thing. We'll see what he decides to do long term. He does have another year of eligibility after this, and we'll see if he does try and go back. But Rodney Anderson, that's a huge loss for Lincoln Riley and Kyler Murray and the rest of the Sooners offense.
Yeah, and you know, I always look at it, Fran, as a former player. And, you know, I know that there are some guys that go pro early, and it might not end up being the best decision. They don't get drafted or whatever. But to me, what's sadder than that is guys like Rodney Anderson and Trey Adams, who, you know, probably would have been drafted pretty high. I don't know how much either one of those guys. I think Trey Adams really considered going pro, right? I don't know about Rodney Anderson as much, but I just, to me, it's awful. Because I like to see guys be able to maximize their physical ability in terms of financial security for their families when they can. And now, you know, both these guys have major issues. Do you know if Rodney considered going pro? I know Trey Adams did, right?
Yeah, I know that there was buzz about Trey Adams talking about it, and I'm trying to think if he ended up going to the NFL Draft Advisory Board. I'm sure he probably put in for a grade. I'm pretty sure he may have even been on the list for underclassmen that submitted before the season started in 2017. So I'm sure he was probably thinking about it, but then with the injury, thought, all right, well, I'll go back, just prove that I can be healthy. With Anderson, there was just buzz because, you know, this time last year, none of us really knew what to expect from Rodney Anderson because he hadn't really played at all. So he was very much off the radar from a national standpoint, especially moving on to the next level. I know that there was a little bit of buzz, but it kind of cooled off relatively quickly. From what I remember, they kind of poured cold water on that really, really fast in the offseason, and may have even been before their playoff game against Georgia that he said, I'm going back.
Who else jumped out at you, or what other news was there noteworthy from week two in your mind?
Yeah, you know, I watched a couple games that I was really excited about, and that was you had Clemson, Texas A&M, which I know you watched as well, and then Georgia, South Carolina. In Georgia, South Carolina, the big thing I was really, really excited about, and we talked about it last week, was this South Carolina receiving core. You know, Debo Samuel, Brian Edwards, who had an outstanding game, the true junior, who's, you know, a big target. He can make plays down the field. Both those guys, Samuel and Edwards, are pretty polished route runners and, you know, have the ability to create yardage for themselves and, you know, and can win on the outside. But going up against Georgia corner DeAndre Baker, who, you know, he's been in a lot of round one mock drafts and he's a lot of people's top senior corner. And he's like right there with, to me, with Michael Jackson, the corner from Miami, as my top senior corner. I didn't necessarily see a first round player when I watched him on film from 2017, though. The big questions I had about Baker were just, you know, can he find the ball late downfield? And that was something I still look. I'll go back and watch the film of this game, but watching on TV, he did give up a couple of plays down the field. But overall, it was interesting. I saw a stat graphic from Pro Football Focus, and you know, look, you could talk about like grades and things like that, but in terms of raw data, yeah, he had the interception, he had the two pass breakups, only 4 yards after the catch allowed by DeAndre Baker, and against if you're matched up on Debo Samuel, that's always something that you've got to keep in the back of your mind, and a 39.8 passer rating allowed throws allowed going his direction. So DeAndre Baker had a really strong performance against South Carolina. I think that that'll go a long way. You know, when you've got these big matchups, Ross, you know, DeAndre Baker going up against the South Carolina receiving core that happens early in the season, that tape is going to get to the NFL fast. So that's going to be one of the first tapes that NFL teams watch of DeAndre Baker from this year. So him coming out and having a strong performance against South Carolina, at least based off of what we saw, you know, watching TV on Saturday, that's a really good thing for him moving forward. And we'll see if he's able to build off of that. Obviously, a very talented Georgia defense. DeAndre Walker looked very good in this game. They've got talent at all three levels. So it was good to see DeAndre Baker come out and have that kind of performance. Cleveland Farrell, the pass rusher from Clemson, there's been a lot said about that Clemson defensive line. You know, Christian Wilkins is my favorite guy up front for them. The senior, Austin Bryant, another senior, also made some plays. But Cleveland Farrell was all over the place. He ended up, I think it was with one or two sacks. He had a couple tackles for loss. He could have had like seven. And actually, finishing tackles is one of my weaknesses for him in terms of what I've seen with him on film over the last 2 years. But Cleveland Farrell was really, really active, really, really disruptive. That was really good to see. Redshirt junior, he's been on the radar for the last couple of years. He's been playing since his freshman year for the Tigers. So this kid is really active. He wins in a couple different ways. He always lines up off the right side, but sometimes he'll stand up. Sometimes he'll line up with his hand in the dirt. I like this kid in terms of transitioning to the next level. I don't know that he's got like high-end athletic upside that'll, you know, have people with their jaws on the floor at the combine. But overall, I thought he had a really, really good performance against the Aggies. And then one other guy that, look, we talked about him in the SEC preview. I watched Kentucky linebacker Josh Allen from last year, and he's like Baker. He's always in the first round mock drafts and all those two early mock drafts. I didn't see a first-round player on film when I watched Josh Allen a year ago, and I haven't yet watched a game yet this year. So, you know, take this with a grain of salt, but his numbers have been crazy. He's had two sacks in the last two games, really high tackle production, ended up getting the sack fumble that helped seal the victory for the Kentucky Wildcats on the road in the Swamp this past week against Florida. So Josh Allen, you know, look, more athlete than football player from what I watched a year ago. If he starts to put it together, that's a good addition to this defensive line or edge rusher, Sam linebacker, however you view him, good addition here to the top end of the first round.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with all of the Clemson D-linemen. I mean, the Lawrence kid is strong. Yeah. I really like Wilkins. I always have. You're right about Farrell. They're impressive. I also thought the quarterback and the receivers for Texas A&M were pretty impressive. I don't remember us ever talking about them, Fran, but those guys look like they're pretty legit.
Yeah, the one kid has some juice, man. I hadn't watched him up to this point. I'm trying to remember the name off the top of my head. This kid, early in the game, had an outstanding long catch and run. I'm trying to pull up the numbers now. They've got some juice. Look, the quarterback, young kid, obviously it's a new scheme there with Jimbo Fisher, and he's trying to get worked in, and he looked a little antsy early. This is we're talking about Kendrick Rogers, by the way. That receiver was just explosive. But Kellen Mond is the quarterback for A&M. He looked a little antsy early. He made some nice throws early on, but he looked a little antsy, and I think he was trying to settle in. The stage might have been a little bit too big, but yeah, I agree. He showed up pretty well, but Kendrick Rogers, man, that kid's got some juice. Jamon Osmond also showed up in that game. And Travion Williams, I thought, carried the ball pretty well as well. I'm excited about what he can be. I haven't done a full deep dive on Travion Williams yet, but those guys certainly flashed for sure. Is there anybody else that stood out in that game for you?
No, those were the big ones that I noticed were, you know, the receivers, especially the one Rodgers and the quarterback for A&M, just to kind of get on the radar, and then the Clemson D-line. I also watched the Penn State-Pitt game. You know, Pitt's running back is interesting to me. I'm trying to remember the kid's name now, Allison. But he was the running back when James Conner was out for that year. Yep. And then they moved him to fullback last year because they had to. You know, Conner came back in 16. They moved him to fullback last year. But, I mean, Pitt rushed for over 200 yards in the first half, and it was mainly him. It was mainly Allison. So he's like a hammerhead power running back that it seems like Pitt always produces. So he's a guy that stood out to me. Sharif Miller had a nice game for Penn State and is probably one of, if not their best prospect. I also know, Fran, there's always a lot of people, you know, your age, my age, that get in trouble with having a bunch of credit card debt. I get it. It happens. A lot of times it's in college or right after college when you have to go ahead and, you know, pay bills and you have student loans. That's why I'm loving this new company, Lightstream. It's a division of SunTrust Bank. So it's a legit bank that offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. So think about that. You know, the average credit card interest rate is over 18% APR. So if you guys have $5,000, $7,000 worth of debt from your credit cards, don't pay 18%. Go to lightstream.com/draft. You can even get a special discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. 5.89%. LIGHTSTREAM.com/draft. That way you get rid of all the credit card debt. You just pay them with auto pay, and it's much, much better. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/draft for more information.
Head to head.
All right, Fran, here we go. Week 3 college football. What's the marquee matchup in your mind?
This is a fun one in the SEC, and there's actually a couple good ones in the SEC, but the one that I'm going to be paying closest attention to will be LSU at Auburn. Yeah, it's the 3:30 game on CBS. And I'm going to have my eyes on the trenches here. You know, you look at the LSU offensive line. I'm a big fan of the left guard, Garrett Brumfield. I think this is a guy I think I'm going to want you to watch, Ross. This guy is 6'3", 300 pounds, heavy-handed kid, really strong, really tough to get off of him once he engages. Strong anchor. He's got a good demeanor in terms of, you know, playing in the run game. Athletically, I think there are some limitations. I don't know that he's got the best feet and lateral movement, but certainly good enough to be a starter in the NFL from what I've seen. He's only got starts at guard, so positional versatility may be a question mark as well. But Garrett Brumfield is one of my favorite interior linemen that I've studied so far, and he's going to have a big test this week. This Auburn defensive line is very talented. You know, inside they've got Derek Brown, a talented junior. Dontavius Russell is a very disruptive interior senior player as well. And then Marlon Davison off the right edge for Auburn, a 6'3", 280-pound kid who can line up inside and outside. So Garrett Brumfield, the rest of that LSU offensive line, good test for them in this game. Joe Burrow, the quarterback, is a junior, transfer from Ohio State. He's 6'4". He's over 215 pounds. He's had a pretty good season so far, and looks like one of the better quarterbacks we've seen for the Bayou Bengals over the last decade or so. He's throwing the ball well. He's making some plays with his feet. I think that he's got the ability to challenge this Auburn defense in ways that other LSU quarterbacks haven't in recent years. So keep an eye on Joe Burrow, who still has another 2 years of eligibility. And then also, one of my favorite senior tight ends in this class is Foster Moreau from LSU. Not going to be known as a pass catcher, but really just a tenacious blocker, really technically sound, looks like an extra offensive lineman out there in terms of his technique, but he gets after it in the run game. And this Auburn front seven, now I talk about that defensive line, they've got a couple linebackers that love to come downhill and mix it up as well. That Mike linebacker, Deshaun Davis, he's short, he's squatty, he's kind of a throwback player. We'd be talking about him as a day one or day two pick if this were 10-15 years ago, but in today's game I think Davis will end up being a day three guy. Darrell Williams, though, Ross, is another senior linebacker who I think has a little bit more a little bit more juice in terms of his projection to the next level. I still think he's probably more of a day three guy, but he's 6'2", he's 237, he's got a little bit more athleticism than Davis does. He lines up over the tight end, he can play in space. I think that Davis is a little bit more instinctive and shows a little bit more from a play recognition standpoint, but both Williams and Davis will come downhill and mix it up in the run game. So look for Moreau to kind of get mixed up with those guys throughout the course of the afternoon. And then when Auburn's got the ball, we'll look at Jared Stidham again against another quality opponent, the junior quarterback from Auburn, 6'3", 215 pounds. I like his arm talent. I like his touch down the field. I just want to see him process things quicker, and I want to see him develop a more natural feel for navigating the pocket, especially when he's under pressure. There are times where I thought, he's bailing out the back door when he didn't need to. He refuses to step up into the pocket based off what I watched in years past. So excited to see what he's able to do against another quality defense here against LSU. We saw him against Washington in week one, had a bit of a week off last week. We'll see how he looks this week against LSU, because that's a very talented front seven for the Tigers. You've got Rashard Lawrence at one defensive end spot, Bryden Fehoko, the Texas Tech transfer, at another defensive end spot. Those guys inside, and then you got the linebacker Devin White, who's extremely talented at the second level, a guy that can play sideline to sideline, a true junior. In the secondary, you've got Greedy Williams, one of the top cornerback prospects in the country, 6'2", 182 pounds, absolutely looks the part. One of my buddies, Ben Fennell, who works for ESPN, got to see that LSU team in person in week one against Miami, said that Greedy Williams 1,000% looks the part of an NFL corner. So excited to see him in this matchup. Auburn's got a receiver, by the way, Ryan Davis. He's a little bit undersized, 5'9", 185 pounds, leads Auburn in catches right now, leads them in yards. He's got some juice as well. So look for him down the field, potentially matched up with Williams in this game. But overall, in terms of prospects, I think this one kind of has the most in terms of head-to-head matchups. That being said, Ross, I think there are a bunch, if you look around the country, there are a lot of really interesting games this weekend in terms of guys that have a chance to prove themselves against superior opponents or opponents that I think will provide a really tough test. Like you look at West Virginia.
Before you, Fran, before you get into that, I wanted to make a point. Dude, some of those LSU O linemen, first of all, I do agree that Joe Burrow is the best quarterback that LSU's had in a while. But I think I told you this, that Garrett Brumfield used or signed up for Go Big Recruiting, my recruiting service.
Yeah, you did say that. That's right.
And I remember when he was like in 10th grade and some of the college coaches were like, oh, you got Garrett Brumfield on here? And like he was sending his video to colleges on Go Big Recruiting. You know, usually once they realize that they're, you know, they got scholarship offers everywhere in the country, you know, they don't use a service anymore because everybody knows about him. So that was cool. Dude, he looks like a total monster. I mean, he is jacked, totally jacked. I mean, their other offensive linemen look good too, but Garrett Brumfield, the left guard, I'm with you, and he gets after people. It's awesome. I want you guys to get after BetQL. If you haven't done this yet, it's awesome. It's such a cool thing. If you like to bet college football, BetQL is the app for you. It's free for both Apple and Android. You know, you're not paying for it. It's just an algorithm that goes ahead and helps you know, keep track of any bets you make, tells you where the public money's going, where the sharps are going. These are the same guys that made SquadQL, which is the app that connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, or CBS league, pulling in your actual roster and your league scoring system to give you waiver, trade recommendations, helping to set your lineup. So whether it's SquadQL, BetQL, RotoQL, what those guys have is absolutely awesome. And speaking of awesome, you're right, Fran. There are a lot of good one-on-one matchups this week. Let's get to a few of them. Which are some of the ones that stand out to you?
Yeah, so you know, you look at West Virginia, NC State. You know, I think this is a great test for Will Grier because NC State's defense, you know, I mentioned to Russ earlier, like, the, you know, what are the first games that scouts will go to and teams will go to watch prospects? If an offensive player is playing against NC State, I want to watch it because NC State schematically does a lot of things that you'll see at the NFL level, especially for a quarterback. So, you know, watching Will Grier against a pro-style scheme is going to be very, very interesting. NC State, they've got a linebacker in the middle of that defense, Jermaine Pratt, a guy that I'm very high on, a senior in his first year as a starter. So keep an eye on that game and how Will Grier does, you know, if he's ever confused, how the protection holds up, you know, is he able to sustain under pressure? It's going to be very interesting to see what Grier looks like in this game. I would say the same about Vanderbilt senior quarterback Kyle Shermer. Look, this kid's going to get tested on a weekly basis in the SEC, but good test this week against Notre Dame. You know, Jerry Tillery, Tavon Coney, Julian Love at corner. They've got talent at all three levels of the defense there for the Irish. This is going to be a good test for Kyle Shermer, the quarterback for the Commodores. Look in the Big 12. You know, Iowa State, they take on Oklahoma. Who's the big player for Iowa State? It's running back David Montgomery. This is a great test against Oklahoma. Look, not exactly known as a defensive powerhouse, but there's going to be speed all over the field. Is he going to be able to create for himself as he does on a weekly basis in the Big 12? This is a good stage here for David Montgomery. It's going to be a nationally televised game. How is he going to look here against the Sooners? This is a good test and one that a lot of people will have their eyes on. Ole Miss Alabama is always a good game, always a good game. And you look at the trenches here. Ole Miss has that left tackle, Greg Little, who I like. I like Greg Little, big physical blocker, going into his third year as a starter, heavy-handed kid that can get movement in the run game. Going up against an Alabama defensive front that's once again loaded. And the guys that he's going to see the most of, really it's Isaiah Buggs, who lines up off that right side for the Alabama Crimson Tide. He'll be lined up mostly against Greg Little at left tackle. But wouldn't surprise me at all if he saw some Anthony Jennings and some Raekwon Davis as well on certain downs. That's a great matchup to watch in this game, is just how Greg Little looks. Ole Miss has talent all over the course of that offensive side of the football. But I'll be watching for sure that defensive line going up against Greg Little. And then staying in the SEC, South Carolina, they go out of conference against Marshall. Marshall's got two players. One is Tyree Brady, a guy I've written about, a guy I've talked about on this show and others. A big physical kid who can go up and get it. He plays the ball very well, surprising yards after catch for a bigger receiver. He is a senior as well. I like Tyree Brady. This is going to be a good matchup for him against South Carolina, a talented defense with talent, especially at the cornerback spot. Rashad Fenton, Keyshawn Nixon, two seniors there in the secondary for the South Carolina football team. I think this will be a good matchup. Keep an eye as well on Ryan B., the defensive lineman for Marshall, against South Carolina's Zach Bailey. So very interesting matchup there with Marshall, South Carolina. Ohio State, TCU. A lot of really interesting storylines here in this game. I'm going to be watching TCU's defensive line. You know, we talk about Ohio State's D-line, and they've got a ton of talent. Best defensive line in the country, potentially there in Columbus. But, you know, you look at defensive end Ben Bonagu for TCU. Ty Summers is a former linebacker who's getting more snaps along the defensive line. How are they going to look against this Ohio State offensive front? Isaiah Prince is the senior tackle. How is he going to hold up? That's an interesting one-on-one matchup, especially among seniors, to watch in this game. And then lastly, we got Temple, who's been terrible so far in this 2018 season. Two losses against Villanova and Buffalo has not been pretty for the Owls, but they go on the road to take on Maryland this week. One player to keep an eye on for Temple, and they've got a couple kids that are getting some buzz. They've got a corner who's a grad transfer. They've got a couple interesting players on offense. But defensively, a kid that was on the Senior Bowl watch list, he was on Bruce Feldman's freak list. And anytime you get that combo, you're always going to get my attention. I went back and watched Michael Dogby, the athletic defensive tackle, lines up in a number of different spots for the Temple Owls. He'll be matched up against an upperclassman offensive lineman here for Maryland. I like the left tackle Derwin Gray, but he'll see most of his reps against right tackle Damian Prince, another big-time recruit for the Terps who's lined up now at right tackle for the last 3 years. That's an interesting one-on-one matchup from that game.
Yeah, there are some good matchups. I feel like Ole Miss, Alabama, there's always a bunch of studs on the field when those teams get together. Auburn, LSU is the same. I still think it's beyond bizarre that you can have two teams in the same division of the same conference with the same mascot, the Auburn Tigers and the LSU Tigers. How that's even allowed is beyond me, but I don't think we need to dive too deep into that. But both those quarterbacks are prospects, especially Stidham, so that'll be cool. Very, very exciting weekend of college football coming up to look forward to it. If you like to place a wager on the games, you guys know where to go. We tell you about it all the time. It's betonline.ag. We actually, if you haven't checked it out yet, we have an awesome Sportsnet challenge pick'em with the Podcast One Sportsnet. Just check out the hashtag Sportsnet Challenge so you can see our NFL picks every week. It's like Shaq and Adam Carolla and stuff. If you're just into betting on college football, that's cool. Go to betonline.ag, use the promo code podcast1, the number one, to receive a 50% bonus when you sign up. Again, that's an awesome offer at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts, the code podcast1. You know what we'll do next week? We will preview week number 4 already with some exciting matchups. We'll make sure you know all about what happened in week 3, what you need to know. And that's what we do each and every week, getting you guys ready. Fran gets you ready. He's got all kinds of awesome stuff he's doing for the Eagles. Check it out at FDuffy3. He posts it all. And, of course, you can check out all the rest of the RT Media podcast as well. We've got the Power Rankings Tuesday. See where your team stacks up now that every team has played in the NFL in week 1 on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Other than that, the keg is kicked and we're all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug, 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 chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.